Burke and Ask the Law with retired senior trooper Monty Dial. Welcome and good morning. 800-288-9227. Drivers, if you want to get your call in about the CSA 2010 hours of service.
Do we have an hours of service call yet?
Yeah, not yet, but
we just might get one.
I'm Gary McNamara with Eric Harley.
All right, it is Ask the Law, and for Monday, September 13th, 2010, and all the information and answers are up to date at this time, but can change without notice. Statements or comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. We're here as a public service of Old Blue USA, and they have a great website set up just for you. You can go to askthelaw.org, click on that big red button that says email Ask the Law, and submit your CMV question anytime. You can do that anytime at all. askthelaw.org. All right, a couple of things we want to go over. First of all, we had some callers earlier that were asking, all right, is this going to show up on my DAC report? The DAC report is not the same as this SMS for under CSA 2010, and I think we clarified that. However, you wanted to make a point, as we were going into the break, we ran out of time. You wanted to make a point that there is another report.
Yes.
That the agency's actually put out. What report,
right,
is that?
And this goes back to Tom's question earlier. There is a difference between your CDL motor vehicle report and CSA 2010.
Yeah.
Citations, where you actually are issued a citation, you're required to appear in court, or you pay a fine. Those citations go on your CDL motor vehicle report.
Okay.
Just because it goes on your MVR doesn't necessarily mean that it will show up on CSA 2010.
Okay.
CSA 2010 is generated off of strictly the roadside inspection reports that have violations on them.
Do carriers routinely use the motor carrier vehicle report as they would maybe a DAC report to get information on drivers?
Well, the regulations in 391 require the motor carrier to run obtain a copy of the driver's motor vehicle report, plus they're required to get one every year in what they call an annual review.
Okay. All right. 800-288-9227. There's something else that we should point out, something that you brought to me before the show, and this is very important. What
yes.
is that?
As most of us that have gone in and studied and read everything we can about CSA 2010, it always mentioned interventions.
Right.
Where interventions, once an area of one of the seven basics gets too high, FMCSA or their state partner step in and initiate interventions. Everybody always assumed that there would be interventions on behalf of the motor carrier as well as on behalf of the drivers. Last week I was listening to another radio show, and on the radio show they had a representative from FMCSA out of Washington, D.C., and it was brought up about interventions on behalf of the drivers. And Bill Quaid emphatically stated that there will be no driver interventions.
Okay. Now, this makes sense as you and I kind of tore that apart. It makes sense, first of all, they're not going to be able to handle that many interventions. They're going to have their hands full with just the carrier interventions.
Yes.
So, if you broke that down into the millions and millions of CDL holders and drivers that are active right now, that would be a nightmare.
Yes.
And I guess that the idea is that if they do the carrier intervention, the carrier at that point is going to take some action, and that is, you know, get rid of their bad drivers that are hurting their score. Ultimately, I guess that's the first thing that they can do.
Right. Now, you as the driver that is listening, say, well, then what is the purpose of all of this? Well, what's going to happen is a driver will have a record of all roadside inspections. When you, the driver, builds up a certain score that your company determines, whatever that score is, once you get to that point, the company will probably have some type of penalty, whether it be days off, termination, refresher, whatever. Mm-hmm. The motor carrier will establish the score at which time they will take some type of action against the driver. Likewise, if you go put your application to go to work for another motor carrier, that motor carrier is probably going to have an established baseline that says, if you have a score of this amount, then we will not hire you. So even though FMCSA has no intentions of doing interventions on the driver, mm-hmm. either the motor carrier or a prospective employer will take and use the data to determine whether or not to hire you or terminate you.
Also, the carriers, from what I understand, their score, let's say they have 100 drivers on board, and all those 100 drivers are contributing to a bad score in some way, and they go in tomorrow and decide, they get an intervention, they go in tomorrow and decide, okay, we're going to do away with these drivers, we're going to fire all 100 drivers and hire 100 drivers with perfect score. That does not overnight change their CSA 2010 score.
No. It will take a minimum of 2 years for the data that these prior 100 drivers contributed to the motor carrier score.
Yeah.
It will take 2 years before that will decrease.
Hmm.
Now, granted, if the motor carrier says, okay, all 100 drivers, you're terminated.
Right.
Now, within the next 30 days, now then FMCSA is going to take and look to see whether or not there was an increase or a decrease, because they've gotten rid of these 100 drivers, even though they retained the score. Now then, they bring 100 new drivers in, and now we're going to start watching to see what these new 100 drivers do.
Right, yeah. And so I think that's what, there was a lot of questions that I got at the Great American Trucking Show on this. Well, what if, you know, are they just going to go in and be able to refresh their record? And I said, no, it stays with them as a carrier.
Yes.
And so that that all makes sense.
Yes.
Because it shows, okay, they can show, I guess, after an intervention, we've done this, we've updated our pool of drivers here, our population of drivers, and we're working to get safer drivers on board. But ultimately, that score is not going to start to change for a while.
Correct.
All right. 800-288-9227. Let's get back to you.
We have Jack on I-30 on the line. Jack, hi. You're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi.
Hi. I got a ticket in Virginia. It was written up as failure to obey a highway sign. I was parked in a rest area in front of a no parking sign.
Hmm.
Is that going to show up on the TSA?
Did that accompany a roadside inspection?
Nope, it was just a ticket and told me to get out of there.
Will not show up on CSA 2010.
Okay, and one other question, since you just brought up something else, you said it takes a company about 2 years before their record starts cleaning up. How long does it take for a driver's record to start cleaning up?
It takes the same amount of time.
Okay.
I'm sorry. It takes 3 years, because what happens is the first year, the first 12 months, it counts as it's multiplied times three. From 12 to 24 months, it's multiplied times two, and 24 to 36 months, it's multiplied times one.
So essentially the weight of those points,
right,
goes down with the longer amount of time that you have, Jack. And that makes sense. In other words, if you get past that one-year mark, you don't have to wait for the full 3 years for this to start to improve your score.
Right.
Right.
Okay, so as you get past those milestones, in these measurement systems, then you'll see that it starts to help you more and more. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right, Jack, thank you so much. Do appreciate that. And we're back to Ask the Law in just a moment.
On the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law. Gary McNamara with Eric Harley.
We are here with retired Senior Trooper Monty Dial. The Texas Highway Patrol is a public service of Old Blue USA, and it is Ask the Law for Monday, September 13th, 2010. The information is up to date. All the answers that you get on this question are up to date. As of today, can change without notice. Statements or comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. AskTheLaw.org to submit your CMV questions anytime. And let's get back to you at 800-288-9227.
Let's talk to Scott on 84 in Pennsylvania. Scott, you're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi.
First episode, gentlemen. Thank you. As far as your violations, I understand it's 3 years. Accidents, I've heard 3 and 5 years. I was just wondering which one it is that stays on CSA 27.
Accidents for 5 years and your... roadside inspection are 3 years.
Okay, and not to beat a dead horse, but basically if I have, you know, anything in the past or anything in the future, if it's not accompanied by a roadside inspection, it really doesn't hit, what I'm understanding, it doesn't hit the report on CSA?
That is correct.
Okay, gentlemen, I appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Thanks so much. And
I think that's, look, you know, may sound like you're beating a dead horse, but if you've got a question, there are no stupid questions under CSA 2010.
That was sort of the question.
Aside from my questions.
Did I really hear that right?
Yeah.
Did I really hear that right?
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
No, I want to make sure.
Yeah. Aside from my questions, there are no stupid questions, but this is the whole point. This is why we do Ask the Law every month, is so that you can get these questions here. And again, you can go to askthelaw.org anytime, but that's the whole point. And we have also seen a couple of services that you and I talked about during the break. We in fact did a report on one, Vigilo. There is another company that's doing the similar services. What are these services and how are they going to be used? I knew that, you know, some industry would pop up out of this because carriers are going to want a more streamlined way to gather this information.
Right.
And essentially this is what this is?
This is what it is. And in fact, one of the bullets on the Just the Facts,
man.
It says, while some third-party vendors are developing and marketing CSA 2010 driver scorecards, consumers, that's you, the truck driver, should know that FMCSA does not provide access to the driver violation history to these companies. So in other words, FMCSA will not provide to these third-party vendors copies of all roadside inspections. What is happening is the motor carrier is getting the data, and they're getting the data through what's called the Motor Carrier Management Information System, or they're using the third party to go purchase this information.
Okay.
And then they are taking it back, crunching it all up, and spitting out individual driver reports.
Okay. Essentially designed to give a scorecard to each driver so
each,
that the carrier doesn't have to go out and round up all this information.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. 800-288-9227. Let's go to the phones.
Let's go to Brad in Crossville, Tennessee. Brad, you're on the Midnight Radio Network. You're on Ask the Law. Hi, welcome.
Yes, sir. I appreciate y'all taking my call. Trooper Dial, I was going to ask you, what do you do in a situation that you've done your pre-trip, everything's working great, looks great, and during your trip you have a tail light burnout or a marker light burnout, and then you get pulled over at scale or something where it was working when you first started your trip?
I asked that question before, and here comes that answer.
What's going to happen, Brad, is even though you took the time to do your pre and your post trip, when the law enforcement officer pulls you over, and does the roadside inspection. If they find a violation, it's written down.
Okay.
Even though you may be the most meticulous person out there. Here again, and in fact, I was listening to another radio show, and the driver said he did his pre-trip, went down the road, and hadn't made it very far down the road, got pulled over, a light wasn't working.
Mm.
So in the course of the rest of the day, he gets back to the motor carrier, he writes it up, pulls into the yard, and it's working again.
Wow. Hey, thank you so much as we go to a break. It's just a bad luck day in that scenario.
We're back
to Ask the Law in just a moment.
On the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law with retired senior trooper Monty Dial. Good morning. Welcome. Drivers, if you want to get your question in, anything from CSA 2010, hours of service, 800-288-9227. I'm Gary McNamara with Eric Harley.
And let's get back to Ask the Law. It is Ask the Law for Monday, September 13, 2010. We're here with retired senior trooper Monty Dial as a service of Old Blue USA. Monty Dial served for decades as on the Texas Highway Patrol, has plenty of experience, and the information and answers to questions are up to date at this time, can change without notice. Statements or comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. Drivers, get your CMV questions answered anytime at askthelaw.org. Just click on that big red button that says email, Ask the Law. All right, our phones are ready. I know you're ready. I know Trooper Dial is ready. Let's get right to it.
Let's go to Mike in Michigan. Mike, hi, you're on Ask the Law. Welcome, hi.
Hey, how are you tonight?
Good.
Hey, just had a quick question for you. I just separated from Werner Enterprises about 2 weeks ago and joined on with another company. After I joined on with this company, Werner faxed over a list of all instances that I was involved in, like a truck stop, another truck hit me while I was off duty. And they faxed this list over to the new company, didn't explain anything, just said this driver was involved in these accidents like it was my fault. I was just wondering, is that something that's even legal, and is that going to be on my CSA?
The only thing that shows up on CSA 2010 as far as crashes, Mike, are the ones that are DOT recordable.
Okay.
And what I mean by DOT recordable is if there is a fatality involved in the crash.
Okay.
The next one is if anybody is hauled off in an ambulance. And the third one is if any of the vehicles involved in the crash are towed due to disabling damage.
Okay.
Those are DOT recordable crashes. Any other incidents that happens, I know a lot of times people talk about, well, I was sitting at the truck stop and somebody backed into me. Well, that's a company incident. It's not a DOT recordable crash, and only DOT recordable crashes are kept under CSA 2010.
Okay, that's good then.
Okay. Did the new company, and you don't have to answer this question, I'm just curious, did the new company take any recourse there, Mike?
They did not. I explained what happened. They just said, okay, that's fine.
New company ask for that information from the old company?
I don't believe so. The way he worded it, he said they just faxed it over.
Hmm.
How would they even know?
They didn't even ask for it.
How would they even know where you were going?
I'm assuming when I applied for the new job, I had put on there that I'd worked for Werner, and they said, "Can I contact Werner?" I said, "Yes." So,
okay.
I'm assuming
so
when they contacted Werner, they probably told them.
Yeah, like it. They did a request under the 391 background, and Werner provided the information to them.
By the way, I don't know that that's exclusive to Werner.
It happens
to
all of them.
Yeah, I think they all do that, because that's pretty much how they put the DAC report together. It's reported. These are incidents that are reported by the carriers.
One thing I wanted to ask you, Mike, did the new company, did they do or obtain a pre-screening employment program?
They had given me a conditional job offer based on background check and driving record and all that.
But you don't know whether or not the company ordered a PSP?
I haven't heard anything about that, but I don't think so.
The PSP is something relatively new. It's been out for, what, close to a year now?
No, it's only been out 4 or 5 months.
Okay. All right. So this is where they started collecting data, I guess,
yes,
about a year ago, and it launched earlier this year. And this essentially is the pre-employment driver database.
Right. What should have happened, Mike, is if the new employer that you went to work for, had they ordered a PSP report, it would have given them all roadside inspections that you had previously gone through for the last 2 years.
Okay.
So,
yeah, I passed all my inspections, so that's never a problem there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Well, that's good. And it looks like, based on the information we have, that he's in good shape.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. All right. So, under CSA 2010. You know,
I'm curious. Is that legal, though, if they fax that over without explanation and I'm denied a job because of that?
Well, what happens in something like that, Mike, is when... Part of the requirements in 391 is the prospective employer has to conduct a background.
Right.
In the background, and when I was working doing compliance reviews, a lot of the information was based upon what the prior employer was willing to release. And there was one instance that I would go in and there's one company that if you made a written request from them, all they would do is say that, yes, that employee worked here. They wouldn't give how long he worked there. They wouldn't give you any other additional data other than to say this employee worked there. I've seen other instances where they would either contact them or send over a written request, and they would give them, you know, everything, including the kitchen sink.
Right.
So it's just based upon what that company is willing, you know, to provide to a prospective employer.
Okay.
So, you know, here again, under the new requirements in 391, if there's some information, and this goes back earlier when we were talking about a DAC, a motor carrier provides information to DAC, and it goes on there. Whether or not the information is accurate or not, DAC never makes a determination. So we've had instances where a motor carrier had an axe to grind with the driver,
right.
So they put some erroneous information on there. Well,
right.
A driver's hands were tied because he never could refutate the data. Well, under some new requirements that FMCSA is making a prospective employer is to give a driver an opportunity to provide rebuttal to an instance that is reported on the DAC.
And it, you know, and I would just my recommendation here, not that of Trooper Dials or Old Blue USA's, but my recommendation here, Mike, is if you're not already a member, become a member of OOIDA. Any time that you can get a little bit of leverage, or maybe just someone to seek some advice from that represents owner operators, they're a good organization. I don't agree with all of their positions on all the issues, and you don't have to either, but. I think it's a good organization to belong to. The fees are minimal in my mind, and in order to gain a little bit of leverage in this case, and you might just look into that as one, you know, way to kind of again keep somebody on your side. Okay.
Right. Okay.
All right. Do appreciate that. Thank you so much. But it sounds like under CSA 2010 Trooper Dial, he's in pretty good shape.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Very, very good shape.
All right. We're back to Ask the Law in just a moment
on the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law. Gary McNamara with Eric Harley.
We're here with retired senior trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol, courtesy of Old Blue USA. And all the information and answers to questions are up to date at this time as of today. September 13, 2010 can change without notice. Statements or comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial considered to be opinions only. Go to askthelaw.org and submit your questions anytime by email. All right, couple things. First of all, on this list, and we'll keep going over this list, and drivers, we're here every month. We'll be back on the first Monday in October. But one of the items on this list, CSA 2010, Just the Facts, was about the BMI as it relates to sleep studies and everything else. While research data indicate that a driver's body mass index is a risk factor for identifying drivers that may have sleep apnea, neither the FMCSA nor the Comprehensive Safety Analysis 2010, CSA 2010 program, currently has any rules that restrict who can be commercial motor vehicle driver based on BMI or weight or neck size. Again, that's the research data. There is no rule at all on this. None of the agencies have made a rule on this. I don't. We've said this, I don't know how many times now, on this program, but it came back to me. One of the industry folks, a couple of them, came to me at the Mid America show and said, "Wait, some drivers heard on your show that there's something, you know, based on sleep apnea." No, that's medical research only. There is no rule out there.
That's correct.
So we just wanted to make that point.
Right.
Okay.
Driver goes in to get his two-year DOT card.
Yeah.
Unless the driver has an established sleep disorder,
right,
as defined in 391.41,
right,
the driver cannot, they cannot require the driver to go get a sleep study done based upon BMI,
right,
their weight, or their neck size.
All right. So just want to let you know, and there's plenty of, in fact, we have the story at our website from eTrucker.com. CSA 2010 fact sheet. You click on that story, and inside there you'll see a link that goes to CSA 2010, Just the Facts. Something to print off and keep handy, and again, maybe absorb some of this information. We do have a couple of drivers standing by. We'll tell you, thank you, drivers. Thank you for holding on, but we invite you to go to the website, askthelaw.org, askthelaw.org. And click on that big red button that says email, Ask the Law, to submit your questions there. And don't forget, we're here every single month with Trooper Dial. Trooper Dial, I know you had a lot of questions from the Great American Trucking Show, and we're out of time here, but thank you for all the service that you provide, you know, for this industry and on this program for many years.
Here to try to make drivers understand the rules.
That's what it's all about. All right. And I couldn't say it any better. And we'll talk to you again next month.
Yes.
All right. It's Ask the Law
on the Midnight Radio Network.